Welcome to today's episode of Reading the Bible Responsibly. Thank you for continuing to join. I'm glad that you're here. Let's think today about a way we can be more responsible Bible readers. We're going to talk about an issue with translations today. In the past 15 years, the concept of gender as it relates to Bible translation has kind of been a hot topic. The TNIV really made some news on this. That was a successor that's now defunct to the NIV. But there have been many other translations, some pretty recent and some a lot older, who've been working at this idea for a while. So what does it mean if you hear about a gender-neutral Bible translation? Does that mean the translators are playing fast and loose with Scripture? Or are they maybe trying to change the Bible to fit with modern beliefs? Or could it simply be a correct way of rendering the text? This conversation about gender neutrality in Bible translations really got going when Zondervan published the TNIV in 2005. Now, the TNIV was an update to the NIV, which was originally published in the 1970s. Most of us were using the 1984 version in recent decades, only been minor revisions since then, but the TNIV was a big update and, in fact, a separate translation that was released in 2005. Now, there had been older translations like the NRSV who had already made some changes regarding how they translated gender, but I think the TNIV caught lots of attention because it was messing with the NIV, which was sort of the darling of the evangelical world, and so there were a lot of people who had their ears perked up to this issue of gender neutrality in the world of NIV users. Now, one of the TNIV's translation philosophies was to use a non-gender-specific word or a gender-inclusive phrase when the original language did so also. The best example is think about using brothers and sisters instead of just brothers. Now, this had nothing to do with like making God feminine or erasing gender or anything like that. This was just about how to render some of these particular words that might need to be broadened. So like if you know Spanish, you know that a word like hermano can mean brother. And hermana means sister. But what if you want to say siblings? Like I've got five siblings. Well, you would say hermanos. That's the masculine ending. There's no separate word for siblings in Spanish and a lot of other languages. What you do is you use the masculine plural to refer to a group of mixed gender. So the plural for brother would be brothers, but you would also use that to say brothers and sisters. Okay, so what's the big deal, though? What's the problem with just saying brothers in an English translation? Why can't you just say that and people understand? Well, in recent centuries, people did understand those words to mean siblings, but they really don't anymore. It's not an accurate reflection of the way we talk. It's the same with the phrase all men. Like if I got in front of a crowd and said, all men, please stand, only the males would stand up, even though sometimes we think all men is just some generic term. We don't use the words that way anymore. Here's an example from Scripture. This is from Matthew 5:9. This is in the Beatitudes. Here's the way the TNIV and now the new NIV renders it. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Children of God. The English Standard Version and the New American Standard Version has the word sons of God. So Greek has a word for son. It has another word for daughter. But if you want to say children, you use the plural for sons. So unless we think in this beatitude, Jesus intends this message only for males, it is safe and an accurate translation to use the word children. Paul has this happen a lot when he talks about brothers and sisters in Christ. It is accurate when Paul uses that plural word to translate it brothers and sisters. It's not just pushing an agenda. It's actually an accurate way to translate the word he uses in Greek. It is very safe to say that he means both. Now, I know sometimes this can get tricky, but I think good translation committees are up to the task. If you want to read more about the philosophies behind this, just check out a few articles I've linked to in the show notes. This matters because if we believe the Bible is for all people and a somewhat inaccurate or limited translation is getting in the way of that, shouldn't we be willing to evaluate our translation? This has nothing to do with making God female or scrubbing scripture of the concept of gender. Now, there are Bible translations that try to do that, but that's not what we're talking about in this episode. This idea of accurately translating matters because I think we can remind people that they can be children and not just sons of God. We can remind them that Paul is writing to his brothers and sisters, not just brothers, in Christ. That's why, in this discussion, I really prefer the term gender accurate, because I think that best conveys what's going on here. If an inspired scripture writer is talking to all people, and not just males, I want my English translation to reflect that, so that all the right people can pay attention to God's Word. Thanks for getting down into the weeds with me on this episode. I know we had to do some grammar details, and that's not everyone's favorite thing, but it does have huge implications, and I want everyone who's addressed in Scripture to know they're addressed, to know they're loved, to know they're commanded to obey, all those things. And so how we do translation really matters in this area. If you're enjoying this podcast, would you please consider leaving a rating and review, especially in the Apple Podcast Store where you can do that? That continues to be really helpful. Would you also consider picking an episode? Maybe it's not this one, but pick an episode that you've enjoyed and just send a message to a friend inviting them to check it out. That'd be really helpful to me, and I would really appreciate it. Thanks for sticking with us through this discussion. We'll see you next time.